Excellent. That was good. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 22. We were there last week, and I saw something, and I wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you on some things in here. Genesis chapter 22. That was real good. I appreciate that. That was real good. Genesis chapter 22. If you don't have a Bible, you can use the one in front of you. Borrow it. Dr. Beltry talked about that one day. He said, if you don't have a Bible to use the one there in the pew. That's what it's there for. And he was shaking hands after the service, and a guy walked out and said, thanks for the Bible. And he walked on out. But anyways. Yeah. Genesis chapter 22. It says, and it came to pass after these things, all the things that God had taken Abraham through, all these years, he was 99 years old when finally he was told the baby was going to come, it's going to be 100 when he was born, and now we're probably at least 15 years later. He's probably at least 15 years later, maybe more than that. And so he's probably 115 years of age, at least. I don't know whether you can narrow it down, maybe you can narrow it down better than I can, but... He's fairly old there, so he's been through a lot. Wandering around in the wilderness. His wife complained because they can't find a Walmart. And just not much else, just hard life. Supposed to go to a city that he will show him. And he's been walking around the promised land, didn't even know that was the promised land. And so he's been through a lot. And God gave him his son, Isaac. Isaac's name means laughter. And both Abraham and Sarah both laughed when God said, okay, the son's going to come. I said, all right. Now, after all this, you're going to send a son. Yeah, we're going to send a son. And the Bible says he believed God, and God counted unto him for righteousness. All right, God, you're going to do it. Let's do it. And by the way, if it looks like it's possible any other way, God won't get the glory he's supposed to get. God has to make it look impossible. So if it looks impossible, don't turn back. If God's in on it, it can still happen, and then he gets the glory. It came to pass here of these things that God did try Abraham. Said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now that word basically means, look, I don't have anything to hide. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son? And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And last week we talked about what are you withholding? And but I want to kind of hit it from a little different perspective here tonight. I just saw this. I just felt like I needed to do that. And so we're going to talk about, here am I. here am I. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, it's a mirror that we look into. Lord, we don't want to walk away being a forgetful hearer. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will burn this into our hearts, help us to see ourselves. Lord, maybe some folks just need some encouragement. Maybe some folks are kind of waffling on some things and not sure if they should do or stand where they need to stand. And Lord, some folks maybe have never even thought about the concept that we're going to speak on this evening. It's a brand new concept to them. God is just something to them that they kind of add to their life to kind of enhance it here and there, hopefully, to make them feel good if necessary. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. I need your spirit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We were in this passage last Sunday evening, and while I was studying this passage, I noticed a reoccurring phrase. Actually, there was another one in there too. Abraham had been through many things. And through all those things, he had come to believe God, and God counted it for righteousness. Genesis 15:6 talks about that. So God decided, I think he knew already he was going to do this from the beginning time, before the time began, I understand that, but to tempt Abraham. Now Abraham withheld nothing, held nothing back, not even his only son. Sometimes God has to bring us to a moment of truth in order for us, and maybe for others, for us to see what we really are. When I was 11 years old, I grew up in a little church where they gave the gospel out, and you're supposed to kind of take everything and put it all together, you know, and hopefully somehow you got it. And some did and some didn't. But we had a dear lady that made sure the kids heard the gospel every Sunday. And to be honest with you, I felt like, well, I did. I knew the gospel, and I felt like I was trusting the gospel. But you know, no one really sat down with me and made sure I had it all squared away. And, you know, 11-year-old kid, you want to make sure you understand it. You think, well, did I say the right words? Did I do it the right time? Do I believe the right thing? You know, it's almost like if you don't say exactly the right words, God can't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry, you didn't say the right words. You can't get saved. You know, it's just funny how we are. And there was a situation back in the 70s. I know that was back in ancient time, kids. But back in the 70s, a lot of the radio preachers were talking about the second coming of Christ. And my mom had gotten saved about a year earlier, and she was listening to Oliver B. Green and Barnhouse, and I'm trying to think who else she had on there. Oh, Lester Roloff, and what did you say? J. Vernon McGee. And she was listening to all them, and I'd come home, and then she'd preach it all to me. And the funny thing is, I come home, and she'd have Oliver B. Green on there. She's talking like that. I said, Mom, how can you listen to that mess? And now I do it. But one day I came home from school, and the elementary school came home second. My sister was on the high school bus. She should have been home. But anyway, I came home, and I walked around the back of the house and walked into the kitchen. The screen door was the door was open. The screen door was there. And my mom, I was always a little hard of hearing. And so she wouldn't, if she left the room, she'd close that door. She didn't want anybody to sneak in. And not be ever in a bad neighborhood, but she just would take precautions. So I walked in, and the door was open, so I walked in the screen door. And you remember, you know, smack, smack, smack. Remember the old screen doors, yeah? And the water was running. And the radio was blaring. And some old preacher was on there, you know. And so I figured, well, Mom has to be right here. So, with any other little 11-year-old boy, Mom, I'm home. Hey, home. Huh? Our house on the first floor was kind of on a circle, so I ran around you kind of go into breakfast room and into the dining room and into the foyer and across the back and down the hallway, back to the den, back into the kitchen. And I ran all the way through yelling like kids do, and she wasn't there. Well, she must be downstairs doing the laundry. So I went down the basement. And again, you could kind of go down the steps and kind of go around through the we had like a club basement there, and I kind of went around to the laundry room and run around back up. She wasn't down there. Well, she must be upstairs. So I went upstairs. And again, you get up to the top of steps. I could go through my room into had one of those Jack and Jill baths, you know. And so go through the bathroom. And then went into my sister's room and out back around yelling. Nobody's home. Nobody. So I went outside and I ran around the house, yelling like an 11-year-old boy does. Mom! Mom! Nobody. Now the water was running, the radio was blaring, the door's open. Mom doesn't do that if she's there. The rapture happened and I missed it. That's what I thought. I thought, oh my soul. But it's a good. Because, you know, I realized, you know what, the rapture's true, then this tribulation thing's true too. All came out of the same book. And so I can tell you, I can take you right to the spot. And I got down on my knees. My mom had a Dutch, what do you call it? Dutch modern, Danish modern sofa, little thing there. And I got down on my knees at that little Danish modern sofa. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I'm so hard-headed. I thought everybody in the world was saved but me. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so hard-headed. And I haven't done this. But Lord, I can't, if this rapture thing's true, then this tribulations thing true, and I'm certainly not going to go through that without you. And I said, Lord, I know Jesus died and paid for my sins. And I know that if I trust you, you told me that you'll save me. So, Lord, I'm trusting what he did on the cross is full payment for my sins. I need you. I can't tell you all the words, but essentially that's all it was. I was trusting Christ as my Savior. I got up off my knees, and my sister came down the steps. I know it sounds weird. I understand. But I ran right through her room. I went through the bathroom. That's the way it works. Yelling. I said, where have you been? I've been upstairs in my room reading. No, you haven't, because I went through your room. You didn't see me. I don't know. I'm not trying to get weird and crazy on you, but all I know is I ran through the room and she didn't hear me and I didn't see her. But now, wait a minute. I wasn't sure she was saved. I knew mine was saved. But where's mom? You might be here, but where's mom? I know where mom is. If the rapture happens, she's up there. I don't know about you, but I know where mom is. Where's mom? She's out in the flower bed. So I ran out there. Sure enough, there she was. Right where I had run. And I said, where have you been? So I've been right here all the time. Now, whether she went behind a bush and put some weeds, we had a field behind, and she dumped the weeds in the field there behind. I don't know. But I couldn't see it. But I'll tell you what I do know that happened. I think I was probably saved before that, or at least I knew what I was trusting. But I needed God to test me, to show me what I believe in. And to tell you the truth, from that day forward, it settled things in my life. It's done. I knew what I was supposed to believe, but I didn't know if I believed enough. You know, I didn't know whether I said the right words, but I did know when it was all came down to the crisis, I knew what I believed in. Jesus died and paid for all my sins, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's all I have, the awesome I knew hope I have. God brought Abraham to a moment of truth. At that point, we know exactly what Abraham believed. God has said that his son of promise was going to come, and from him a great many nations. And now he wants him to kill him. But at this point in time in his life, he said, I don't know what in the world God's trying to do, but whatever it is, it's right. Whatever it is, it's good. I'm just going to do what he tells me to do. What if Abraham was not in the habit of listening for God's voice? What if Abraham was in the habit of ignoring God's voice? What if Abraham had not been found faithful in answering when God called? God called to Abraham, and Abraham said, here am I. But wait a minute. God called to Jacob. You can back and look. Every one of these. God called to Jacob, and he said, here am I. God called to Moses, and he said, here am I. God called to Samuel, and he said, here am I. God called to Isaiah, and he said, here am I. And the Lord spoke to Ananias, when we were supposed to support Paul back in the New Testament. He said, I am here. All these men were greatly used by God. However, the greatness was not forced on them. Greatness was offered to them when God called. The greatness was either accepted or refused by their response to the call of God. When God calls, what's your response? Here am I. See, when he called Abraham, here is Abraham. Abraham said, here and I. He didn't say, well, okay, what you got up your sleeve this time? Hold on. They did not look at the caller ID and wait for call to go to the voicemail to see what God wanted so they could decide if they wanted God and what he was asking, and then decide whether to call him back. How quick are you to answer when God calls? Do you say, here am I, right away, and accept the call, no matter what the call may ask of you? Or do you wait for more information, decide if you want to answer God's call? The first three times this phrase, here am I, is used. There's a little bit different twist in the one there, but the fact is it's the same word. It says, behold, here am I. Look, here I am. I'm right here, not hiding. The first three times this phrase is used in the Bible is these three times that is said by Abraham. Last week I asked the question, what are you withholding? This evening I want to hit it from a more of a positive direction, encourage you to respond to God's call. Here am I. Here am I comes from the basic word, behold. It means, get a good look at me, Lord. I'm not hiding anything. Look here and see who and what I am. Here I am, God. Yeah, I am what I am. So God says, I am what I am. That's what Papa used to say. I am what I am. He says, here I am, Lord. This is who I am. Let me give you number one. When your faith is questioned by God, when it's tried, when it's put to the test, do you say, here am I? When God tries your faith, you think everything's going fine, and all of a sudden, he throws a monkey wrench in there. Listen, Isaac was getting almost to the point he's ready to start looking for a wife, probably. Abraham's getting ready for grandkids. This is what he'd been waiting for all his life. And then God says, kill it. Kill the dream. Kill the promise. Kill the hope. Kill what you have been waiting for all your life. Look at verse 1, back in Genesis 22. It came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested, he tried, he proved in order to find out what he really was. And sometimes God gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith, and in so doing, we are seen for what we really are. Here I am. You realize you can't hide your heart from God? You can't hide your thoughts from God. Listen, he's not upset because you get scared, only if the fear stops you from taking the steps he's asked you to take. In fact, when we're scared and we fear the circumstance, but we fear him more and we follow him, I think it makes him pretty happy. He says, wow, they're really scared of that, but they're willing to trust me more. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, means look, see, here I am. Abraham did not hide. He didn't shy away from the Lord. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, verse 2, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. There's nothing between verse 2 and 3. Take your own son, and I want you to go to Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Bide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Abraham was so surrendered to God that he was willing to take whatever God brought to him, whatever God put in his life. Abraham did not hide from the trials. God called him out to a promised land, and he still has not seen it. Even though he was somewhere around, like I say, 115 years old, he died when he was 175. And yet Abraham still answered when God called. When God comes tempting you and trying your faith, do you say, Here am I? Proverbs 17:3 says, The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. I know that I have quoted that thing hundreds of times, and you can probably quote it too, which is good. God tries the heart. Do we volunteer to hear God's voice? Psalm 139:23 says, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You know what he's saying? Here am I. I just want what you want, God. I don't understand. I'm a little nervous what you're going to ask. But whatever it is, God, I trust you. Here am I. Number two. When your faith is questioned by the ones you love, do you still say to God, Here am I? When God calls you to do something, everybody else says, I don't think that's right. That's crazy. God shouldn't ask of you. That's not right. Must not be God, because God just wants everybody to be happy. He wouldn't do that to you. Do you still say, Lord, here am I? Genesis 22:7. You've got your passage. And Isaac, the son, he was putting two and two together here. he started putting two together. He says, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, he said, Here am I. He didn't change the subject. He didn't try to avoid it, to evade the question. He knew what the question was. He probably saw Isaac sitting here saying, Okay, we've got this and this and this. It wasn't the first time they had offered a sacrifice together. Abraham had raised Isaac right. He'd raise Isaac to fear God. Now, Isaac had his issues. He also kind of lied a little bit sometimes, just like Daddy did. But there were some things he knew. And he was following his daddy. And he knew what they were about to do. And he started taking inventory. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, I've got something else I want to do next Sunday night, so make sure you're back. But I don't want to steal that right now. Let me ask you this question, though. Let me say this. Can you imagine what went through Abraham's heart and his mind when Isaac asked that question? When we got ready to come up here, this is honest goodness truth. When we got ready to come up here to be for me to be the pastor here, I'll be honest with you, I felt bad for my kids. Don't take this wrong, but there was 25 people here, 28 total on that first Sunday. I think Alicia was here. Alicia, how old was she? She was, 13 years ago, so 2 or 3, you know. And then we had Jenny and Megan. And then Who else? Wilma's kind of, it's kind of your kids and my kids. Now, our kids were used to being part of a teen group that had 120 on Wednesday night. They would have children's activities, and by the way, we're work toward that kind of thing here. They open a gym, they'd have 300 kids there, for a children's activity. And they were used to all that. The kids were playing in the orchestra, singing in children's choir. All their friends, they had never known anything but this, but that church. And I'm thinking, they're not going to want to come up here. I had family members who were kind of saying, this is kind of stupid. What in the world are you leaving all this for? The fact is, and I felt bad for the kids. I really did. I thought, oh my soul, what are they going to do? I think Hannah had probably about as hard a time as anybody. She really did. And she later since said, I'm glad we did this because I wouldn't be the woman that I am, she said. I didn't say that. The woman that I am if we hadn't. You see, the best place to be and for your family is the middle of God's will. And so they're under my umbrella of support, my umbrella of protection. And if God says, this is what you have to do, Sterling, then I have to do it because that's what's best for my whole family. God's not looking at me forgetting about the residual effects. When your own family questions you, do you still confess who you are? Here am I, son. When it appears that you're going against your own family, or at least they may think you are, do you still confess who you are? I'm a Christian. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. Do you obey God and confess to be a follower of God when you're questioned by the ones you love? Abraham did not hide from the sacrifice. Abraham was open and surrendered to God for sacrifice. And when you are called out by loved ones, are you willing to continue to live by faith? That's right. I'm a Christian. And I'm going to obey. I'm going to trust God even though it doesn't make any sense. I remember years ago before my dad was saved. I was teen, almost out of high school. Looking, trying to decide what I was going to do with my life. And I remember in love, as much as he could, as an unsaved man, looked me square in the eye and pointed his finger at me and said, Sterling, that stuff's fine for church, but it doesn't work in the real world. You're going to ruin your life. Don't live like that. I'd be honest. That's all fine. Go and learn how to be honest and so forth and so on. We know all that. But don't believe all that mess. Don't go out on a limb there and think God's going to somehow make it all work. You and your mother's religion. I don't want anything to do with it. Now it's hard for you all to even think about pop like that. Because a few years later he got saved and things changed. You say, here am I when God calls. When your family says this is ridiculous, do you still say, here am I when God calls? Number three, this is the last one. I wasn't sure really how to say it, so it's kind of wordy. If you have your ears and heart open to obey God when God calls, watch me, and you're willing to answer the call whenever He calls, you will not miss hearing Him call when God calls for deliverance, for a blessing. You won't miss it. See, we want to just listen for that. No, you see, you've got to be willing to, you need to listen to the call and answer the call when He asks us to live by faith if we expect to hear the call for the deliverance. You expect to hear the call for the blessing. Because, see, that comes after the faith. Don't exercise the faith, you don't see the blessing. But if you're used to answering when He calls, you won't miss the call for the good stuff. Abraham was open to the deliverance of God. Look at Genesis 22, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You could say this. God saw his faith every time he said, Here am I. Here am I. Verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We talked about that last week. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Watch. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, then in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Can you imagine listening to that while Isaac is strapped down to the altar? This is the one. He says, the seed of thy loins, you and Sarah, it's going to be your child. He's the one. He's the promised one. He's the one that you will be a father of many nations. God will do something great through you. And here he is. Many people miss the miracles and the blessings of God because they have selective hearing. And by the way, selective hearing wasn't given to them by God. If Abraham had not been willing to answer the call to sacrifice, he would not have been in that position to have heard the call for deliverance and greatness. He said, Listen, now I know, because you haven't withheld your son. If he had decided not to listen to the call, he wouldn't have been at that place, at that point, at that moment. And the angel would have never heard the angel say, I know that you trust me now. When God calls and tests us, it seems like suddenly we can't hear the voice of God. We're waiting to hear the words of blessing and not a request for obedience and sacrifice. We often miss the call to blessing because we're not listening to the call of sacrifice. Let me say that one again. We miss the call of blessing because we've turned off the volume. We turned down our hearing aid because we're not listening to the call of sacrifice. We're not listening because we're afraid that we might hear the call to obedience and surrender. So our selective hearing, we often do not recognize the voice of God when He calls us to deliver us. How many times does God have to call before you say, Here am I. Could it be that that is why God has not done something great with you, as you think maybe God should have done? God, you say, well, I always thought is it possible that we're just not willing to listen to the call of God and say, Here am I. Whatever you want, God, here am I. If you want to see God's unusual blessings, we have to answer when He calls, no matter what the call may be. We have to answer when He calls for sacrifice first. And we have to answer when He calls to make the tough decisions. And if we're willing to answer the call when He calls for sacrifice, we will hear when He calls us to bring deliverance and blessing. Are you missing out on the mighty blessings of God? It could be that you simply aren't willing to say, Here am I. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. Simple thought. Lord, a mighty, mighty thought that can change lives. change courses of directions. Can change from being somebody just kind of lived life and somebody who was used of God to do something great. Here am I. Heads are bowed and her eyes are closed. The piano's good.